Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, going to be decreasing clouds today, still humid, high around 83. Kenosha right now, 74. It's 72 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 74, 73 in Racine. One of three Illinois-based nursing home operators going to be visited this month as part of the ongoing process to determine the future of Racine County's Ridgewood Care Center. County officials knowing that a large financial deficit looms if ownership is maintained this way. A recent meeting of the Executive Committee and the Health and Human Development Panel at Ice Grove had Ray Giannini, the county's hired broker, mentioning six offers total, with the lowest at $10.5 million, the highest $11.7 million. Each operator, he said, with positive comments about the Ridgewood facility.
Friendly staff, access to public transportation. They raved about the fact that there's a bus stop right in front of the facility. We had multiple attestations of the fact that it was clean. A comment that I was very, very pleased with, and that was that it's a 1986 constructed facility that looks like it was built in the late 90s. We have commitments by buyers to retaining significantly all of the staff.
Giannini said that the review thus far is focused on operations that would commit to Racine and have Wisconsin experience.
There's not a single entity that made an offer that didn't have multiple facilities, some of which range greater or of the same size as Ridgewood itself. So these are very, very high quality offers. I don't think we could ask any more, really, of offers coming forward, in my opinion.
He called Ridgewood a quality asset that proves its worth with these above-market offers and comments from the interested buyers. Corporation Counsel John Lehman indicated once the site visits are completed by the end of this month, then it's interviews before the two committees will meet again to start considering any final recommendation. The 2017 county budget, he said, not a factor in the process. Last night, the Kenosha City Council approved a contract with Downtown Kenosha Incorporated, the organization charged with driving revitalization of the city's downtown area, and their deal includes $25,000 in funding, but also a clause that puts two voting members chosen by the city onto the group's board of directors. The city under DKI for the same amount for 3 years ending last December had former Mayor Bosman leaving it up to new Mayor John Antaramian to decide whether to continue this deal. City Administrator Frank Bassetti has said that this is the situation that unfolded before the alderman last night. David Bogdala, one of those aldermen, urged his colleagues to reject the payment, said in his words, this has not worked out.
With all the discussion of adding different things going on in that area to essentially fund this position, I don't believe that the taxpayers of the multiple entities have gotten the bang out of their buck. And I guess it's up to the other individuals in downtown, the businesses down there, whether or not they feel that's the case. I just assume leave it up to them to make that decision. But in my opinion, it hasn't.
Alderman John Fox, whose district includes the downtown area, said that the city should kick in its share to fund the group. The Kenosha Area Business Alliance deciding earlier this year that it would no longer continue funding DKI. The new agreement, adopted on a 13-2 vote, will expire at the end of the year. Well, the orange snow fencing will not return around Milwaukee's Sherman Park, at least for the time being, as Judge David Hancher continues a restraining order against Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. The sheriff had ordered the fencing installed around the park and the hours restricted after the riots of last month with that officer-involved shooting. The judge said the issue was more about the dislike and power struggle between the sheriff and the county executive. The sheriff's attorney, Michael Whitcomb, explained that the fencing was going to be removed after the start of the school year, also calling out Abley for what he labeled the political power play that was involved. The Sherman Park neighborhood unrest, by the way, caused an estimated $5.8 million in damage to seven businesses. That's the estimate from the fire department and Battalion Chief Aaron Lipsky, who says it is just a rough estimate. It includes the damages to buildings and contents. Most damage, destroyed auto parts store, $1.4 million, and nearly $600,000 to a gas station. A 61-year-old Racine man is facing an aggravated battery charge. He's accused of breaking a woman's arm with a baseball bat when she asked him to repay a $600 loan. This allegedly Tuesday at an apartment in the 2200 block of Washington Avenue. Victim telling police she was outside the building asked Gary Petty when he planned to repay her. She alleges he threatened to kill her, went inside, came back with an aluminum bat, and began to hit her. She was taken to Wheaton Franciscan All Saints, diagnosed with a broken arm. A preliminary hearing on the charges for Petty has been scheduled for next week. And a 14-year-old Wisconsin girl, Jerrica Bolin, has a very terrible, painful, incurable illness. And earlier this year, she said she planned to attend her high school prom, spend a final summer with her mother, and then commit suicide. Disability rights activists are now asking child protection agencies to stop the teen from ending her life. Jerrica says the pain from her spinal muscular atrophy is at least a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 on her best days. No comment last night for the Kenosha City Council. They approved amendments to 3 tax incremental districts designed to spur development in the city. Mayor John Antaramian's been working on the plan since he took office earlier in the year, and those plans include a new downtown public parking structure on land east of the post office, reconstruction of a large section of 22nd Avenue, continued work on the former Chrysler engine plant site, getting that ready for redevelopment, and a $500,000 incentive for a new manufacturer with plans to move into the city. Approvals of the TID plan modification set the stage for including the projects in the city's next capital improvement planning process. The abrupt closure of ITT Technical Institute has led to a number of other instructional facilities reaching out to help the affected students, including Gateway Technical College, with workshops and a process trying to help continue their education. WRJN's Janet Hoff has details.
Gateway has formed a team of new student specialist advisors, financial aid representatives, and other student services staff to work with affected students to determine their options. Gateway has set up 2 quick start seminars specifically for ITT students, September 13th from 3 to 5 p.m. on the Racine campus, and on September 15th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Kenosha campus. The college is also offering to waive the $30 application fee for ITT students to attend one of the Quick Start events. ITT Tech closed after the federal government banned the school from enrolling new students who rely on federal financial aid, the school's main source of revenue, leaving thousands of students in the lurch. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
A public policy forum report out today shows property tax collections in the 7-county southeast region went up 1.8% last year. The aggregate tax rate declined for the 2nd consecutive year, and regional property values, they went up by 3.2%. It's the 3rd consecutive year that every county experienced an increase in values, but the first year since 06 that the region's growth exceeded that of the state. Commercial property values again driving overall growth, increasing 4.7%, outpacing the state's 3.8%. 8% increase. Every county in the southeast region saw an increase in its aggregate gross tax levy for 2015. Racine County's 4.7%, the largest. Kenosha County's at 3.5%. Milwaukee County's 9/10 being the smallest. Kenosha County's overall property values grew by 5.6%, but commercial values were up 10.8%, likely reflecting the report list is new development and continued economic growth tied to proximity between Milwaukee and Chicago. National Health Interview Survey indicates that in the first quarter of this year, 1.4 million fewer people lacked health insurance than in 2015 because of the Affordable Care Act. Just 8.6% of Americans uninsured, according to the study. First time in history, below 9%. Obamacare, as it's known, became law in 2010, when about 16% of the population was uninsured. And you knew it was coming. The makers of Pokemon Go now finally coming out with their wearable device. Niantic Labs says the Pokemon Go Plus will be released on September the 16th. $35 Bluetooth sensor is worn on the wrist. It vibrates when Pokemon and Pokestops are nearby. The wearable version already sold out, though, on both Amazon and GameStop. WRJN newscasts are in podcast form on our webpage. Wherever you want, go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.